Amen, amen. John chapter number 1. While you are turning there, I remind you to be in prayer for all of the visitors that we have been having, our guests that have come. Amen. Thanking God for filling Sister Delana with the Holy Ghost. Looking forward to baptizing her and her husband, seeing him filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, they may get the Holy Ghost while they're gone. They are attending, got them attending a good church while they're away. And so, amen. It's about getting people to heaven.
All right.
Praise God. Amen. And also back there on the back wall in the foyer area, there has been a flyer back there concerning missionary Brent Schreckheis. And we will be sending an offering. He has told us to hold that offering until he knows whether he's going to be able to make the purchase of that building. And I spoke with him on Thursday. And he's given everybody the go-ahead. And as of right now, they are $25,000 short. But they're believing God to come through with that. And but they're going to go ahead and step out by faith and make that purchase in December. It'll be such a blessing to them. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to do our part.
Amen.
We're going to do our part and be sending a check to them for that. And looking forward to hearing great reports from the Honduras. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't really have any aspirations to go visit overseas anywhere. At some point in time, I guess I want to go over to the Swiss Alps just to say I've been there, to see them, see the beauty that's there. But if there is a missionary that I would like to go visit at some point in time, it would be Brother Schreckheis. And they are such godly people, doing a fabulous work for God. And we love them dearly. Praise God. Book of John, chapter number 1. And let's begin at verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. We're just continuing what we did here this morning. The light was the light of men. And we have a testimony. We have a testimony of something that happened this morning. Sister Melissa and I got to witness it. And basically a miracle took place this morning. And we're giving God the thanks for that. And this shows you the power of the light. And so I believe her name is Wendy. So Wendy was sitting back there, and she's been reserved. And this is Eliana, right? Eliana's grandmother. And so she's been coming to Eliana's church. Eliana's always excited about her church and about her Sunday school. And so Grandma's been coming on Sunday morning. She's been bringing her son, Eliana's dad, and his name is Zach. And so he's been coming a couple of different times. And so anyways, I noticed this morning Wendy was singing a lot of the songs that we were singing, not because words were up on the board, up on the wall. It's because she knew them. And so we were singing Victory in Jesus, and she was just singing right along with that. She wasn't like following and just kind of filling in. She was singing it. And I was like, you know what? There's something that's there. She knows these songs. Well, come to find out, that was her favorite song of all. Not just of this service, but that's been her favorite song for years in life. And she said, I was so happy when when you sang that song, that y'all went back to the songbooks and sang those hymns. And she said, and then as you got to preaching up here today, and I felt the inspiration of the Lord to preach in this vein, to preach upon this subject. And I just did not know how it was going to turn out. I didn't know where it was going to go. I'll be perfectly honest with you. What I had felt in prayer today was right there in Genesis 1, 11 and 20, verses 11 and verse number 20 and verse number 26, of how that God spoke to the earth to bring forth the grass and the trees, and it did. And God spoke forth the sea to bring forth the fish and the whales, and it did. And God spoke to himself concerning mankind, and mankind was created in the image of God. And then when you uproot a tree from the earth, it dies. And when you take a fish out of the water, it dies. And when you take man away from God, it dies. And that's really all that I had this morning, thinking along those lines, and sitting in my office trying to put something together with that. And this message came to me. It's a message that I preached many, many years ago, and it came to me, and so I went, and I thought, okay, and so I put it in there, and so I just kind of started laying a foundation when I got to that place this morning, and then it just kind of took off. I didn't follow any of my notes. And really what was happening was there was a conversation that was happening in the spirit, Wendy was back there, and she was telling me, Sister Melissa was listening to her testify of this. She said, you were about 2 to 3 seconds behind my every thought. She said, every time I was thinking something, she said, 2 seconds later, you was right there. She said, and I would step ahead, and you was right there. And she just began to say, she said, it's just like everything that was coming through my mind. She said, as it was coming through my mind, you were speaking that within the next few seconds. She said, it was absolutely amazing, and I do not know how that happened. And so I told her, I said, well, that's the power of the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that the Word of God, Hebrews 4 and 12, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the end of that verse says that the Word of God is able to discern the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And I said, so God was discerning your thoughts at that moment and speaking them into existence. Your questions, he knew your questions. He was answering your questions even as you had them. And she said, well, I'm in the medical field. And she said, I am very, very much book, chapter, verse, as you say. She said, we prescribe stuff because it says do this. The school books, the books, they state this, this, and this, and that's why we do that. And she said, and so as you was preaching, you was given all the verses, she said, in my mind, it all just made sense. And she said, so I just want to thank you for that. And you know what? That's what it's all about. Really, that's what it's all about. Being able to get into the vein of the Spirit. And, you know, it's not me. I've got to follow the Holy Ghost. But, you know, all of us as a church, we have to follow the Holy Ghost. You are a part of that. It's not just me. You are a part of that. Because your spirit and your attitude can close down that window of the Spirit being able to minister and being able to move through. And so it's our response to the Spirit of God that keeps that window open, keeps that connection plugged in, that God can do what he needs to do. Amen. Praise God. And so we all need to remember that. It's not just the preacher having a part in all of it, but it's all of us happening. You think along these lines, what if you would have clammed up? What if you would have shut up, you know, your response and wouldn't have responded spiritually and verbally to the Spirit of God? It would have gotten super, super tight, and it would have prevented basically a miracle from taking place, that as she began to think, God was already answering it in her mind. Praise God. Amen. And that's what the Bible teaches us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That word light is enlightened, revelation, enlightenment, but illumination, it opens up understanding. That's what the Word of God does. The questions that we have, it opens up to us. It's the truth of God. And the truth of God, the Bible said that we should know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Praise God. If you want to be free, you can be free. Praise God. Everybody that wants to be free can be free. Amen. And so there's times and situations where the Word of God can be offensive to some, but at the same time, it can be salvation to others. It's all in how we receive the Word of God. I want to be receptive to the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to take the time to delve back through the foundation. As a matter of fact, I thought the foundation, I won't say it was boring, but it was just tough sledding when there ain't no snow. Amen, as Brother Johnson always says. And but as the Lord began to rain down on us, it felt so much better. I read something the other day as somebody said, I would appreciate summer a whole lot better if somebody would come by once an hour and miss me like they do the vegetables at the store. Amen. And we're so thankful for God coming through this place and raining a little bit this morning. We could kind of feel, we did. We felt the Spirit of God and the presence of God, and the Lord was good to us. Praise God. But the ultimate desire of the enemy is to blind our eyes, to break that connection with God, because he knows that if he can get us disconnected from the Spirit of God, if he can get us disconnected from God in general, that he is going to win. Just as if you can take a plant and you can pull it out of the ground and you can lay it down right there and it's still going to die. And you can take a fish and you can pull him out of the water. If you have him in a barrel, you can pull him out of the water and you can lay him right beside the barrel, but he's going to die. He's got to be in the environment of that water. And that's the same way it is with mankind. You've got to be in the environment with God. And when Satan can separate you away from God, then he's going to win. What is that separation? We know that separation is sin. Is sin. And you must understand that yes, the devil's agenda is to get you to fall into sin, but he knows that he's not going to get you just to snort a line of cocaine tomorrow. But if he can get your spirit bent out of proportion, if he can get your attitude, you know, wrong, if he can get you at odds with somebody in the church, your brother, your sister in the church, so that you would not be receptive to the Spirit and the presence of God, then his agenda is well on the way. And then at times it'll be, you know what, I just don't feel like going to church today. And you feel like, you know, I'll just miss church here and I'll just miss church there. And he breaks you away from the body, and it's like cutting your finger off. The finger is going to die. It's got to stay connected to the body. And so sin separates us from God. And so that's why it is imperative that every time we come to the house of God, we make sure that, and even before the house of God, on a daily basis, we need to make sure that we are washing ourselves and cleansing ourselves. Even as Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, of all the filthiness of the flesh, of all the filthiness of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. And so I want to be that. I want to be sensitive to God. It's a cry and shame when our feelings are in a place that we don't recognize, feel when we have grieved the Spirit of God. Amen. That's the way that God wants us to be. God wants us to be sensitive enough that throughout our walk in our life with God, that at the moment that we step out of that place, we feel that unction of the Lord saying, you know what, something's just not right about that. I don't have to have book, chapter, and verse for it. I just feel, you know what, something's just not right about this. It don't feel right. And so I step back carefully and I approach carefully and cautiously so that I can be pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. And so we talked this morning about how that God hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and how that the gods of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light, the inspiration, the revelation, the illumination of this glorious gospel should shine unto them. Praise God. Amen. And then we started getting into, right before we closed up this morning, we started getting into the necessity of being in his presence. Amen. Praise God. The necessity of being in His presence. Praise God. And that's where we want to talk about here for a little bit tonight. Amen. I'm struggling with my voice. I don't know if it's allergies or a cold or it's the cold outside or what it is, but probably all of us are. Amen. But amen. Praise God. And so in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We recognize and understand that He is the sun, the central part of the entire universe. He is the source of light, the source of truth in our lives. He is the source of all of this. And even as the sun has its benefits and its detriments. If you stay out in the sun too long and you burn and you oftentimes are sunburned, it's going to give you skin cancer. Praise the Lord. But also there are times that you need to be out in the sun, and it is a natural source of vitamin D. And vitamin D is essential for many functions that was in the body. Recent researches show that vitamin D may provide protection against or from osteoporosis, high blood pressure, cancer, and several other autoimmune diseases. And so I'm going to talk about here for a little while about the benefits of getting a moderate amount of sun exposure. And first of all, we know that vitamin D, and so we could talk about depression, and we talked a little bit about that in the godforsaken world of Washington and Oregon during those monsoon seasons, and depression being there and suicide being such a high rate there. And there are people that take supplemental vitamin D to boost that within their body so that they can not so susceptible to depression and such. But one of the things that the sun gives us and being out there is it builds the immune system. As a matter of fact, in World War II, they used the sunlight to disinfect and to heal wounds. And this was a fact that was proven in 1903 by Nobel Peace Prize winner Niels Finsen. And so they would take the wounded and they would stick them out there in the sun, and the sun brought about an immunity system or helped strengthen that immunity system, and that they were able to overcome the things and the wounds and stuff that they received. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Jude, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." And the reality of this is that we are in a war. We're in a war, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We are in a war, and we are either fighting against the devil or we are resisting God. And in this war, you are going to receive wounds. The Bible teaches about faithful are the wounds of a friend, and it teaches about how that there's nothing that can hurt worse than to be wounded by your friends. But the enemy of your soul is going to take every opportunity that he has in order to wound you. It doesn't necessarily have to kill you, but you can be wounded to death. You can be to the place that you're so wounded. Think about this, the bitterness that is there, that gets in there. I believe I was talking to Brother Wirth not too long ago, and we were talking. He was saying something that Brother Stanford had said many, many years ago, and he said that the Wichita area is a unique area because all of the backsliders seem to be bitter. Why are they bitter? It's because of the wounds that they have received, and the enemy has used that to try to tear them down. But we've got to make sure that we stay in the graces and in the presence of the Almighty God, because there is power and strength and healing in His precious blood. And it's not just His blood, amen, but just being in the presence of God helps us sometimes to forget about the things, amen, that we have received within inside or upon us. Life isn't always fair, and there are things that goes wrong from the outside and from the inside. But oh, take me back into the presence of God, where in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Just get me back into His presence. I can think about the goodness of God. I can think about the faithfulness of God and the purity of His Spirit. If I can just get back in the presence of God, there's something about it that everything else begins to dim in comparison to the goodness of our Father.
Praise God. Another thing that they say that the sun is able to do is it protects against dementia and brain aging. And that is necessary in the line that we are, in this war line. Amen. Because there is a fight that takes place in our minds. And that's where the battlefield is. Amen. That the enemy is trying to control that central system that processes the thoughts and the feelings and the emotions that we have starts right there. And so getting into the presence, into the area of the sun, teaches us that it helps to fight against these things. And so we know that the Bible, as Paul said, there are some things that are warring against the law of my mind. And I've got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I need the Holy Ghost to shelter my mind. I need to put on the helmet of salvation to protect my mind. But I need to make sure that I'm getting in the presence of God. Amen. And submitting my thoughts unto Him. And loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind. Amen. And letting God help us to the renewing, casting down, pulling down every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Oh, my mind can begin to think about some horrible things, and the law and the ways of assumption can take place. But when I get in the presence of God, there is purity. Amen. There is goodness. There is mercy that is there. Wash my mind with your Spirit, oh God.
Another thing that helps us throughout all of this, being in the sun, is essential for decreasing symptoms of asthma. Now, I don't know how all of this takes place. I can only tell you what I've learned, what I've researched in all of this. So I don't know how that it happens. But it is amazing of how that just being out in the sun for a period of time can decrease the symptoms of asthma. Asthma, obviously, we know that it is a respiratory disorder. It is a breathing malfunction. It is a place that asthmatics come to under an attack, and they feel like they can't breathe, or they cannot breathe. They have problems breathing, but that can be greatly diminished by being out in the sun. Amen. And in the spiritual world, that's where the enemy likes to try to cut off the breathing and trying to get you to suffocate and to die because that you can't breathe. And the spiritual asthma that tries to take over the body, and the spiritual asthmatic attacks that happen, and we feel anxiety and overwhelmed by this. But being in the presence of God diminishes all of that. Being in the presence of God, amen, brings about the sacred breath. For that's what the Holy Ghost really means. Holy is sacred, and ghost is the spirit.
And so it is the sacred spirit, the sacred breath. Amen. We understand that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, that they were born again of the Spirit. The Bible teaches us that Adam was laying there prostrate, and he had no life in him until God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Solomon even spoke unto the wind and said, wind, he told the Ruach, he said, come breathe upon my garden. Ezekiel prophesied unto the wind and said, blow over these bones. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was a wind that swept through that place and filled all of the house where they were sitting. Amen. Through and by a rushing mighty wind. I'm just simply here to say that the church does not have to have a breathing problem. When you get into the presence of the Almighty God, you ought to be able to get to a place where the Spirit gives the utterance to the sacred breath. Amen. There is a time that you feel overwhelmed in your spirit and feel like you can't go any further. You really don't even have the desire and the unction to sit down and pray. But a little bit of self-discipline puts you in to that position of prayer. And as you begin to pray, there is something on the inside that begins to open up the airways. And you get into the presence of God. Amen. Who is not very far from you at this dimensioning of his name. But all of a sudden, the Spirit begins to make utterance. The Spirit begins, amen, to pray and begins to speak. And you begin to speak in a heavenly language, talking in tongues, whether of men or of angels. But all, when the Holy Ghost begins to flow, it just seems like everything is going to be okay. Where just a few moments ago, anxiety was there, fear was there. But when I got into his presence, as David said, my feet had well nigh slipped until I got into his presence and I came into the house of the Lord. Then I understood their end. Praise God. I got to get back into his presence. I got to get into his presence. There was a time that David was not necessarily allowed to get into his presence, for the law stated that they were unclean, and he was unclean all the way back unto, I believe it was Ruth, Ruth. And so through this, there come a time that the generation had passed and the time was there. And so David was able to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now David had a relationship with God on the outside, but there was nothing that was going to take the place of being in the house of God. It's one thing to be out there and to feel the presence of God. It's one thing to be out there, amen, and even to talk to God, but there is absolutely nothing that can take the place of coming to the house of God and being in his presence. I'm not saying that you can't feel him, you can't sense him, and you can't experience him on the outside, but friend, don't ever, ever forsake the house of God. It's in the house of God that you're going to get your strength, your inspiration, and your renewing of the Holy Ghost. Those that stay, well, I'm just going to stay home and do it my own way. They obviously do it their own way, and their own way doesn't work. They stay away and they get new revelations. They stay away and they get new inspirations. Amen. That's contrary to the Word of God. That's why it doesn't work. But take me back to the house of God and just get me back into his presence, and everything is going to be okay. Praise God. That sun also helps the support of bone health. It strengthens the bones. Amen. It fights against osteoporosis. Amen. The shrinking. Amen. And the deterioration of the bones. Amen. It strengthens the teeth. It strengthens the rest of the bones. Proverbs 15 and 30 said, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and of a good report maketh the bones fat. Isaiah 58 and 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a well-watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose water fail not. Amen. That's the benefit of being in the presence of God. Oh, yeah. Amen. The devil wants to try to make you to be a cripple. Amen. And to make you to be weak to the pressures that he has. But when you get in the presence of God, oh, God is ready to strengthen you and to help you. And a good report cometh forth. And the Bible says that it makes the bones fat. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. But this is where I want to go tonight. Being in the Son possesses the power, the potential, the ability to lower cholesterol. I'm not going to get into all of this. It has words that I cannot pronounce. And obviously things that I don't understand. But I got the gist of it. Amen. And so, here's the fact. Cholesterol, this is very interesting. Now, obviously, we understand this and we know this to a great degree. But when you tie it spiritually in, it's amazing. Cholesterol cannot dissolve in the blood. Cholesterol will not dissolve in the blood. It has to be transported to and from the cells by carriers called lipoproteins. Low-density lipoproteins, or LDL, is known as bad cholesterol. High-density lipoprotein, or HDL, is known as good cholesterol. And when too much bad cholesterol circulates in the blood, it can slowly build up in the inner walls of the arteries and that feed the arteries that feed the heart and brain. And together with other substances, it forms plaque, a thick, hard deposit that can narrow the arteries and make them less flexible. And if a clot forms or blockage happens, and a narrowed artery, a heart attack, or a stroke can result. Now, I believe that there's power in the blood of Jesus. And we could get into a lot of this. The Bible teaches us, we've heard a few messages here of late concerning the power of the blood. The transformation of the blood. Life is in the blood. The blood brings healing. The blood brings cleansing. The blood brings security, safety, immunity. It's all in the blood. The blood has so many different functions that it has. The blood is able to carry oxygen after passing through your lungs, carry oxygen to all of the organs within your body. And then depositing the fresh oxygen picks up the carbon monoxide from the disposed oxygen from those organs and takes it and expels it through respiratory system. Takes the garbage as it goes through the kidneys. And the kidneys filter it out and then deposits it. And in the blood, there is vaccination, immunity. So for instance, like in our day and age, if you want immunity from chicken pox, then there is a vaccine that really in reality is just a small dosage of chicken pox. But it allows your body to build up an immunity, and your body has the power to overwhelm that. And then it basically stores that in some spot, some part that
if this virus or whatever comes back, then it regenerates all of this through the white blood cells, the nurses that run around and begin to kill that infection, or begin to kill and work against that virus. And so the blood has the ability to build up immunity, has the ability to bring about the nutrients and the cleansing and the oxygen that the rest of the body needs. And at the same time, it has the ability to pull away the dirtiness that is there. I was reading one time and I preached a message, and I think I've even alluded to it here a little bit, but the power of the blood is like a trash truck. It's like the Augusta trash truck that goes to your house and puts those big old pinchers out there and grabs your trash can and picks it up and then dumps it back there in the back. And I don't know about your trash cans, but my trash cans stink. And there's a lot of stuff that's in those trash cans that we don't want to talk about. And just the filthiness, you know, food that came out of the refrigerator that wasn't ate and got dumped in there and stuff like that, and just the nastiness of all of that. And then it gets put in there, and then there's this crusher that comes in and compacts and smashes it all and busts all the bags and stuff, and all of that ooey liquid stuff runs out all over the place. And then they take it to the dump, and there they are at the dump, and there's flies, and I don't know when the last time you went to the dump, but that place stinks. And so that trash trunk pushes it all out, and that thing pushes all out there, and liquid running out of the back of that truck. But you know what? Walnut Valley was there at the dump too. And Walnut Valley looked at the trash man of the city of Augusta, and he says, "Hey, I've got all of these fresh steaks. They need to be delivered over there to the store. Would you mind taking them over there?" The trash man said, "Yeah, just throw them in the back. They'll be okay." And so they just take that and they just throw those ribeye steaks in the back. The trash man takes them over there to the store off of, is it State? And they come out there and they pick those things up, brush the flies off of it, take a napkin, wipe all that off of it, throw it in there in the glass container, and you come in and you take a look at it and you're like, "Man, that's great." And you buy it and you take it home and you cook it, you eat it, and you don't get sick. That is a example of the power of the blood, of how that it can pick up clean things and run it and deposit it where it needs to be deposited, and at the same time pick up all of the dirty things and run them through the kidneys and deposit them and go back and pick up the fresh oxygen out of the lungs, and it doesn't get contaminated. It's the power of the blood. But yet there are cancers that are a part of the blood. Leukemia starts in the bone marrow, and that's where the blood is produced from. And so people have to have bone marrow transplants. And at other times they do blood transfusions to try to cleanse the blood, because that there is an infection or a deformity or some type of foreign object that is contrary to the blood. And the blood cannot do what it needs to do. Back many years ago, our son Micah had some type of sickness. I believe he was 15. Turned 15 in the hospital. And they had done everything that they could do. They had done all kinds of testing on him, trying to find out what was wrong with him. They basically told us at one point in time that they were thinking more along the lines of cancer, leukemia. But they knew that there was something wrong in the blood, in that bone marrow, because all of his blood level counts had fallen. His red blood cells had bottomed out. His white blood cells count had bottomed out. And his platelets were dropping greatly. And so they knew where it was. He still had blood. He was still alive. But at that point in time, he was going downhill rather than progressing up. God just reached down and touched him and healed him, because they still do not know what was wrong with him. But this just kind of gives us a story concerning the blood. But now there is this foreign element that is in our bloodstream. And the what's the word I'm looking for? The purpose that it has is to stop the ability of the blood to flow. And if the blood cannot flow, then somebody's going to die. And so this foreign element called cholesterol gets into the bloodstream. And then with other elements and substances, it forms a hardening plaque. And plaque gets into the walls of the arteries, and they become less flexible, and they begin to bring clots and begins to narrow down, and so the blood cannot get through, and then it's going to cause a heart attack, or it's going to cause a stroke. And we know that ultimately it very well could lead to death. And that is the way that sin operates in our lives. Bringing a hardening of the heart. A hardening of the spirit. Towards God. So that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot function like it needs to function. Everything is still there. The ability is still there, but there is a foreign substance that is there that causes the plaque to come and the hardening of the arteries, the hardening of one's spirit, that one does not receive the word of God, the presence, the spirit of God, the desire of God. And it causes spiritual heart attacks, spiritual strokes. And that is why we've got to stay in the presence of God. Because there is something about just thinking to ourselves, this absolutely makes no sense. But when I step out my doors and get out into the sunlight, and all I feel is the heat that is there. But there is something on the inside that is taking place that the eye does not see. That the mind really does not comprehend. We're not walking out there and holding our arms out and saying, fix my arteries. Fix my arteries. No, it's just a natural thing, the way that God designed and planned for it to be. And so getting out there begins to cause a plaque with inside of the arteries to break up. Now, it's obviously we know that it's not the telltale. It's not the healer of all of these things. It comes down. They need to be watching what they eat. They need to be watching all these other things and such like that. And we don't have time to get into all of that. But let's just take this. That being in the sun, studies tell us that being in the sun possesses the power and the ability to cause, to dissolve the plaque and the cholesterol in those blood vessels, and to break it down, to dissolve it, and to keep the arteries flexible, amen, so that they can function like they need to be able to function. And so it is when we come into the presence of God, there is something going on that's more than meets the eye. And you think that you're just singing a song, and you think that you're just clapping your hands, and you think that you're just have your hands raised up, and you think, amen, that you just came to church to do a duty. But there is something that is happening in the spiritual world, that when you get in the presence of God, amen, God is softening that heart. God is softening those blood vessels, arteries that are transporting that blood, so that the blood can continue to breathe
bring healing to your wounded spirit. Amen. Healing to your sick body. Amen. That the blood can still function like it needs to. But Satan likes to try, amen, to get that bad cholesterol in there so that he can stop the ability and the function of the blood. But Jesus said, hey, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will help you. Oh, I just think that there's something special about getting in the presence of God, more than meets the eye. He knows what's going on down deep in my spirit.
Oh, let's stand and thank the Lord today. God knows all of these things spiritually working together for our good, because he knows what we need. I could take the time and I could go through a lot of this. Lowers cholesterol. We talked about that. There are beneficial effects on certain skin disorders. Psoriasis. Being in the sun helps that. Kills bad bacteria, germs. Being in the presence of God does away with carnality. Being in the sun actually helps lower blood pressure, cleanses the blood and the blood vessels, increases oxygen content in human blood, can cure depression, protects against cancer. In other words, it is anti-cancer. We know that being too much in the sun can give you skin cancer. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So we want to make sure that we're right getting in there. Another thing is that being in the sun helps better sleep. Better sleep. It's amazing. Just being out in the sun can help a person sleep better. Isaiah said with a stammering lip and another tongue that he would speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest which causeth the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Getting in the Holy Ghost brings about rest and refreshing. He said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We know that the enemy is set to wear out the saints of the Most High. But Jesus said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. God ordained something to be in his presence. Amen. To bring about rest. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Casting all of our cares upon him, because he cares for us. Being in the sun can stimulate one's appetite, improve digestion and metabolism. Being in the presence of God ought to stimulate our appetite for him, to be in his presence. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I wonder if you're anything like me, we take that sun for granted. Take that sun for granted. We don't get out there in the sun very much. Got a good friend that works a lot in the office. He's not able to get out very often time. Very often does not work outside. Several different times he told me, he said that he would call his dad. He's like, Dad, just pray for me. He said, I just don't feel good. I just don't. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know if I'm getting sick or whatever. I just don't feel good. And his dad said, son, you need to get outside and go work. He said, Dad, I guess you didn't hear me. I said, I don't feel good. He said, no, I heard you loud and clear. What you need to do is you need to get outside. You need to get in the sun. Get in the sun. You need to sweat a little bit and get those impurities coming out of the body. You need to get out there in the sun. And he said, you know, the amazing thing is that every time that I do it, Dad was always right. He said, and I start feeling a little bit better being out there. Just picks your spirit up. Helps you sustain life. Those plants that are out there, if you put them in your dark house and you never open up the curtains to them and set them out in the sun room or open the curtains up so that they can receive that sunlight, they'll die.
Right.
Got to be out there. And that's the way that we are. We got to be in His presence. I got to be in His presence. Just take me back into His presence. Times that I didn't have words to say. Didn't know really what way was up, what way was down. Didn't know what to do. But there's something about I went to His house. In that place where all of the saints of God would gather and begin to pray. And the prayers and the peace of God was filling the house. And at times there was nobody there. But I went to His house. And I could feel the Spirit of God. I didn't have to say anything and He didn't have to say anything to me. I just got into His presence. And I knew that everything was going to be okay. And so there's times that you in your life, you just feel overwhelmed. It's not time to stay home. It's time to get back to the house of God. Where you can feel His presence. And let His Spirit just shine down on you for a while. Praise God. I think it would be good if we would just take a moment. Maybe you want to come up here around these altars. I know today has been different. But maybe you want to come up around here. And I think it would be good that if we just express our desire to be in His presence. As you know, every time that you stay away from His presence, things don't go good. Things don't go good. You don't make right decisions. You don't feel right. You don't live right. Become hardened. Emotions overrule, override. But when we get back into the presence of God, it just seems to bring back balance to us. And so I want to express my gratitude and thanks for allowing me to feel His presence. And church, we really do have a good thing around here. We really do. We really do. I've been in churches. I've been a part of churches. You must understand that as a young man, by the time I was 16 years of age, I'd been through 2 church splits. People fought viciously against each other. Half the church over here, half the church over there split. I mean, right down the middle, 50-50 or 49-51. Just fighting against one another. And it was not the will of God. I've been a part of churches where they ran the pastor out of town multiple times. And it's just not right. But when you come to the presence of God, there ought to be peace. And there ought to be joy in the Holy Ghost here. And that's the way I want to keep it. I want to protect the sanctity of the presence of God. Amen. Can we come here tonight? And let's just express our gratitude for all the times that God has met us in this place and God has helped us in this house. God, we're thankful. We're thankful. God, and we don't want to take for granted what we feel in this place. The cleanness, the sanctity, and the purity of the Spirit. God, we're not perfect by any means of the imagination. We're far from it. Imperfect people coming before the presence of a perfect God. Coming in with emotions, attitudes, maybe agendas, wrong mindsets. God, would you help us? Would you remember that we are but flesh, and would you cleanse us? And would you be faithful to us? And every time that we gather in this place, Lord, we want it to be for your glory. We want you to come down into this place. And we want you to rule this house. We want you to wash over this place and to wash our hearts and our minds. We want you to have the ability to cleanse us from every evil thought, from all sin stains. We want you to have the power and the authority to draw sinners with liberty to the altars, O God. God, that every sinner that comes into this place would feel the presence of the Spirit of God, would feel the unction of the Holy Ghost, would feel the burning power of your Spirit as it shines down in their lives and begins to break down the hardened areas of their hearts. Here a little and there a little. And the defenses that they have set up begin to melt away. And the necessity of coming to an altar to present themselves becomes overwhelming. And God, that they would walk down to these altars and they would find you. And they would find peace and sanctity and safety, strength and salvation and joy right here in the presence of the Almighty. This is a place, God, that we have dedicated unto you. A place that we call your house. Not a place that you are barred into and not able to go with us, Lord. For we understand that you dwell with inside of us. But oh God, when I open up your word, I want you to shine on me. When I bow my knees in prayer, I want you to shine on me. And as I go through the day calling your name, I want you to shine upon me. But oh God, I don't want to forsake your house. And when I come into this place, I can feel the rays of your love as it shines down upon us, God, and begins to draw us closer to you. Begins to set us in motion. Oh God, you can talk to us and deal with us and help us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.